I'm not going to preach a long time. And I was going to be concluding the book of Luke today. Today was going to be my conclusion, but maybe I don't finish. And maybe we go on and do one more week in the book of Luke. But let's go to the book of Luke, chapter number 24. And this is the final chapter of Luke. And while you're turning there, it's good to have Katie with us today. And she's welcome, isn't she? Amen. And she is originally from Idaho and up, Sister Wiggins up north of where Tim lives. She's from like the Bonner's Ferry area. And I believe now is living in Portland. And she is with us today. And we are very, very happy to have her. And she is certainly welcome anytime. And so thankful for that and thankful for everybody else that's here. I want to go into this text, but before I do, I just want to make one little small comment here, is that I struggle a little bit because I really feel that the way that I want to spend the rest of my preaching years, preaching and teaching, is just going verse by verse through the books of the Bible. And I just really think that's the, or at least for my ministry anyway, that's the right way to do it. I'm not going to fault others that don't do that. But I struggle a little bit because I'm going to be reading several verses here today. And on one hand, I don't want to go into too much depth because I don't want to, you know, not be able to see the forest because of the trees, because there's so much. But on the other hand, I was struggling this week with this because I was just saying, man, there's stuff here that I'm just going to be glitzing over and not really covering. And so I don't know what to do. I don't want to bog us down. We've been in the book of Luke for a year, but I've almost felt like I've had to leave things out. And so let's read this text today, and I'm going to do a little bit of it this morning, but let's start reading at verse number 36, and let's hear the word of the Lord today. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." And I'm going to talk about that. There's something that might be interesting to you about that, peace to you. But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. If you might put it this way, they kind of thought they saw a ghost. Okay. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts?" This is the post-resurrected Christ. He is risen from the dead, and they're seeing him. And he said, "See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And I want to talk about that a little bit. And while they still, unbelievable, why they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and ate it and ate before them. And he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he, and this is a very important verse, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and the forgiveness of sins," or as the King James says, "the remission of sins, should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you be clothed with power from on high." And that is a very correct and literal rendering of the Greek. Stay in Jerusalem, or tarry in Jerusalem, until you are clothed with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, And I would love to talk to you about Bethany today. I'm just not going to be able to get into it. He led them out as far as Bethany and lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. So if I can today, and I'm going to just preach for just a few minutes because we've got this deal here, and I really want to do this justice. If I could just preach for a little while today on the resurrected Christ. The resurrected Christ. Let's lift up our hands and worship him. Oh God, we are so thankful for you. Lord, we're so thankful for your presence. Oh Lord, you know, we are nothing without you. God, we are helpless without you. Lord, we have no strength of our own. Any strength we have is strength that you give us, Lord. Any wisdom we have, God, is wisdom that you give us. Oh Lord, you are the giver of good things, Lord. Lord, we ask that you would open our minds and our hearts to your word today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated today. The very first verse of this text that we read today says, as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said, peace be unto you. And you say, well, as they were talking about these things, what things were they talking about? Well, what they were talking about was what we preached about last week, because the last week we talked about the two people that were on the road to Emmaus and how he came and walked along with them and broke bread with them that night. And when he broke bread with them, and their eyes were opened and they knew who he was. And then he vanished out of their sight. And that was, that's what they were talking about. It says, as they were talking about these things, all of a sudden, Jesus, wham, there he is. And if you read about this same account in the Gospel of John, it says that the doors were, some translations say that the doors were shut. Some translations say that the doors were locked. You can decide which one you want. But it was, they were meeting secretly. And I don't know if the door just opened by, if God just opened the door and he walked through. I don't know. I don't know if he walked through the door. I don't know. The Bible does not say, and I'm not going to speculate, but they were just there in a room all shut up by themselves, and one second, and then the next second, Jesus is right there, and he's right there in the midst of them. And he has this, he says, peace, or shalom. You've heard that Hebrew term, shalom. Peace be unto you. And you know, that might not sound like very much. That might not sound like something you'd say, okay, you know, that's just a common greeting. Peace be unto you. But you got to understand something. That in, you know, words change meaning over decades and over centuries and when they come across languages. And in the English language, the word peace simply means the absence of hostility or the absence of anxiety. Wouldn't you agree that if we have maybe the absence of, again, absence of war would be the absence of hostility. That when you have peace, it's that basically there is no anxiety. There's nothing to worry about. You're at peace. You're at peace. But believe it or not, the word peace, that word shalom has a deeper, more full meaning than just the absence of conflict or turmoil. But the word shalom has the notion of that, the absence of turmoil and conflict, but also the notion of positive blessing from God. That when he said peace, he's not just saying that there's not going to be hostility or anxiety or worry, but he is also saying there's also going to be blessing. And he said, peace. And then in verse 37, it says, they were frightened and thought that they saw a spirit. And this is something that is, I don't know, it's odd to me that, I mean, if I would have been one of the 12, I would have been just as blind and just as out of step as any of them. So I'm not going to say that I would have known it been any smarter. But if you look from the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, Jesus predicted that he would rise from the dead. You can go all the way back to the second chapter of John, the very early part of Jesus' ministry, when he was just starting his earthly ministry. And John chapter 2 was when Jesus said to the Pharisees in verse 19, he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, what? I will raise it up. Was he talking about the building? He was talking about the temple of his body. In fact, they said that. They thought he was talking about the temple, and they said, hey, it took 46 years to build this temple, and you're saying you're going to raise it up in 3 days? But the Bible says in verse 21, he was speaking about the temple of his body. So Jesus, from the very beginning of his earthly ministry, was predicting that he would rise again, that there would be a resurrection. And you look in chapter 12 of Matthew, they came to him and they said, we would like to see a sign from you. Jesus, would you pull some rabbit out of the hat for us? Do some little magic trick just to kind of impress us and prove to us that you're Messiah, because we just don't know what we really think about you. And then that's when Jesus said, an evil and an adulterous generation seeks after us. And there's not going to be any sign given you except the sign of Jonah, the prophet. And then he says in verse 40, he says, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. What was Jesus saying? I know this is simple, but let me just say this. Jesus was saying that the time of his death would have limitations, that it was only going to last 3 days. That the way that Jonah was swallowed by the belly of the fish and then came out and preached, Jesus was saying, that is what is going to happen to me. I'm going to be in the heart of the earth for 3 days, and then guess what? I'm going to be back. I'm going to be back. And I could show you other places let me go one more. It says in Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, it says, from that time. Remember, Matthew 16 is that famous chapter where Jesus says, who do men say that I am? And they said, some say you're John the Baptist raised from the dead, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you know the story. He said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, and I'll give to you the keys of the kingdom, and thou art Peter, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom, and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. But then it goes on, and it says that from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day, what? So for 3.5 years, Jesus was saying things to his disciples in private, but he was also saying other things, giving indication that, listen, I am going to die, but I am going to rise again. And Jesus was predicting it. And and so then you... So when it says that they were startled and frightened, they thought they saw a ghost. No, man, listen, it's been 3 years. I've been talking to you about this. For 3 years, I've been telling you that I'm going to die, but on the third day, I am going to raise again. So When you see me come in this room here, don't be surprised and don't think that it's some kind of a ghost or some kind of paranormal experience. Amen. No, I am just doing what I told you I was going to do. In verse 38, he said to them, "Why are you troubled?" And this is, to me, kind of cool. He said, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts?" And then he said, "See my hands and my feet." Let me ask you a question. Why did he want them to see his hands and his feet? Sister Eunice, you got it right. The nail prints. The nail prints. I want to come back to that. And he said, "You know what? Touch me. Touch me. Go ahead and touch me. You can hear my voice. I want you to follow this. You can hear me talking to you. You can see me. Look at me," because he said, "See my hands. See my hands and my feet." He said, "Touch me." I don't know. I don't know. All I can do is speculate. But I wonder if this moment was in the mind of John the Apostle. I wonder so much if this moment was in the mind of John the Apostle. You know, he wrote profound things. You know, the beginning of the Gospel of John, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God." You know, but when you look at, you know, John also wrote three epistles, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. And if you look at the very first part, the very first verse of 1 John, it starts very similarly to his gospel. But before we go there, I want on here in Luke, if you'll go back, Bill, to Luke, he said, "See my hands and my feet." They could hear him talking to them. And he said, you know, "You can hear me, you see me. Now you can touch me." And then look at John. Look at his writings. When he wrote 1 John, the very beginning, he said, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, that which we have seen, that which we have heard, that which we've seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands." I can't help but wonder, folks, if the Apostle John had this moment in mind when Jesus, you know, he came in that room and they couldn't believe it. And he goes, "No, you can hear my voice. Here, see me, touch me." And then John opens up 1 John by saying that which was from the beginning, that we've seen with our eyes, we've touched with our hands, we've heard his voice. I just wonder if that was John, if that was the moment in time that John was talking about. But there's something else I want to throw out here. And like I said, I'm going to not preach very long, so I'm going to probably just bring this in for a landing here pretty quick. But can I speculate a little bit? I mean, you say, "Well, Brother Wiggins, listen, get up there and preach. Don't give me your opinions. Just give me the Bible." Oh, come on. Can I just once? Well, okay, maybe more than once. But can I speculate a little bit here? This is not, I can't prove this. But he said, "See my hands and my feet." And remember, you know, Thomas wasn't there that day. And there was another time, and it's in John chapter 20. And Bill, you can get that, where Jesus appeared to him and he told Thomas, because remember, Thomas says, I don't believe it. Except I touch the nail prints in his hands. Except I feel the wound in his side. I'm not going to believe it. And Jesus came and appeared and he singled Thomas out and he said, "Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it on my side." Here comes for the speculation. When we, in the resurrection, remember, folks in this church, we loved Bill Peoples. I hate cancer. Oh my God, I hate cancer. I just hate cancer. And, you know, we sat and watched and we prayed for him. And sometimes God heals and sometimes it's, you know, God's sovereign. And Bill went on to glory. I'm going to say this, and I think we're all going to agree. When you see, I believe that there's a day that we will see him in heaven. Sister Carol Lee, I don't think he's going to have cancer in heaven. I don't think we're going to see this withered, frail, sickly individual. Sister Wiggins, we prayed a long time for Sister Anne Marie. And we have visited her grave several times since she's passed. Sister Wiggins, when that resurrection occurs, and bear in mind that Jesus is the first fruits from the resurrection. Okay? The Bible says that. That we are going to be resurrected just like he was. And so, I don't think that when Anne Marie gets resurrected, that she's going to be eaten up with cancer. I don't think she's going to have her head bald because of no hair from all of the chemo. I don't think that's going to be. I think it's going to be a glorious resurrection day, and I believe she's going to be in a resurrected body, and it's not going to have disease. It's not going to have sickness. It's going to be a glorious day, and that's what I'm looking for, folks. Here's what I want to say. Here's my speculation. Are you everybody ready for the speculation? If you look at Isaiah 52, and I don't think I put it in my notes, Bill, so you're safe. If you look at Isaiah 52, speaking of the beating that Jesus took before he was crucified, it says that his visage, that's the King James language, Isaiah 52, it says his visage was marred more than any other man. Visage is our common day word for appearance. His facial appearance was marred more than any. And some have speculated that Jesus was beaten so badly that you wouldn't have even recognized who he was. His face was just... You've seen people that's been in really bad automobile accidents and it's hard to even recognize who they were. But when Jesus walked in that room that day that we're talking about, here's my speculation. I don't think his face was all tore up. I don't. Just, Sister Wiggins, in the way that Anne Marie is not going to have cancer in her resurrected body, I don't think Jesus in his resurrected body was still going to have all of this damage done to his face and beating. No, he was in a resurrected body, folks. So then why the nail prints? Why the wound in his side? Well, so they could recognize him. So they could know it was him. The beauty of it, I know I'm speculating. I think Jesus is going to provide something for Sister Anne Marie and Brother Bill Peoples that he didn't even provide for himself. He said, you know what? I'm God manifest in the flesh. I could make my body, I could walk out of that tomb and there not be one scratch on me. But then they might not think it was me. They might think it was a... So to prove to you, Thomas, and all you doubt, and there's a little bit of Thomas in all of us. Let's face it, folks. There's a little bit of Thomas in all of us. Thomas, for your sake, I love you so much. I'm not going to heal all of myself. I'm only going to heal some of myself. And I've wondered, and we'll know when we get over on the other side. I've wondered when we get over on the other side and see Jesus and behold him, are we going to see nail prints? Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? Jesus did not heal himself. He didn't. But he's going to do more for us in the resurrection than he did for himself, I guess. And I want to tell you something. That makes me love him all the more. That makes me realize just how utterly helpless I am, how utterly helpless you are, and that were it not for God, were it not for him, we have no hope without him, church. We have no hope without him. You say, oh yeah, but I reached out to God. I reached out to God. You don't understand, Brother Wiggins. I reached out to God. Well, just remember one thing. He reached a whole lot farther down than you reached up. Let's all stand today. Amen. Let's worship the Lord. God, we thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you. God, we magnify you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. All we can say is thank you, Lord. Lord, it's not enough. If we stood here all afternoon until the sun went down today and just thank you, gave you thanks, it would never be enough. Oh, as one man said hundreds of years ago, I forget his name, it's a famous quote, he said, in fact, they even wrote a song about it. He said, oh, for a thousand tongues. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing praises. I wish I had a thousand voices that I could sing and worship him with. But even if I could, it would not be enough. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's all gather around the front today and let's just spend a little bit of time seeking him. Let's just spend a little bit of time calling on the name of the Lord. Oh, Jesus.
Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. God, I praise you. Oh, let's lift our hands in worship and give him thanks and praise. Glory and honor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus' name. God, in Jesus' name, Lord. God, in Jesus' name. God, in Jesus' name. God, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. God is good. And his mercy endures forever. His mercies are great. Thank you, Lord. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be the Lord. Just got a good feeling in my heart right now, and I don't want to live my life by feelings and emotions, and I can't live my life that way. I can't live my life on feelings and emotions, because there's ups and downs to that stuff. But I will tell you right now, I just have a good feeling in my heart right now. There's just a good feeling. Good feeling in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.